speaking today with the Houston City Controller, Ronald Green. Ronald, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today. This is your second term in office. Talk to me a little bit about the highlights of what you've done in office. What have you done in these two terms that you're most proud of?
Well, one of the things that we've done is increase transparency in the office. Now the city's checkbook is online. We just unveiled our investor website where anybody from the public can tell what our debt situation is, what our pension situation is, what all the liabilities are, and they can get all the information aggregated in one spot. I think that, in addition to the fact that we've gone out into the market, we've refinanced some debt that we've had here, we've taken advantage of lower interest rates, we've shortened the life of debt, and that what that equates to is about $250 million over the life of the debt that could be used on other projects. So I'm very proud of that. But I think one of the other the big things that I am very proud of is that the Anti-Defamation League has named this office a community of respect for the last 4 years. And I think that says a lot about when you deal with employees who have been under the pressure of layoffs. You've been under, you know, the pay is not all that, you know, people perceive that it should be. That employees still want to come to work and they still want to do a good job and they still respect each other and they respect the atmosphere in which they work. So I'm very proud of that.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously the controller's job is primarily fiscal in nature. So let's talk about the city's financial situation. You know, as you know, 4 years ago, there were all those layoffs as a result of budget shortfalls. Revenue is back up. A lot of people have been rehired. Services have been restored. What's your view of the city's financial situation at this point?
The city of Houston is like any other big city. We've got challenges. I mean, I will put them out there. We've got the pension challenges. We've got health benefit challenges. We've got infrastructure challenges. But Houston is a lot different, I think, than many major cities in that people still find that it is a good place to live. So to the tune of about 150 people per day are moving to the city of Houston. Our tax base is growing horizontally as opposed to vertically. The council has not elected to raise the tax rate, but we've got more taxing structures on the ground. So sales tax is up and property tax is up. So there's consumer confidence here. People are buying things. They're building houses. The market is good. So when it comes to our finances, we have some serious structural challenges that we need to address, and we've got to, you know, take them, you know, one bite of the apple at a time, and we need some help from the legislature. But at the end of the day, the city is not a Detroit, and we won't be going bankrupt despite what, you know, the people would have you believe.
Well, let's talk about the pension situation. I mean, you know, I feel like there's a lot of alarmism around pensions. I mean, and I feel like you kind of have to separate the firefighters' pension fund, which is not over which the city doesn't have much control, from the police and municipal ones, where the city does have more control. From your perspective, what if anything needs to be done to the pensions, both to ensure that they are properly funded, which is primarily a police and especially municipal plan, and also to ensure that the city's burden isn't that great?
Well, a couple of things. I think obviously we've got an actuarial required commitment that we need to make every year that has been really, and required is probably such a strong word when you talk about an ARC. It probably needs to be codified because it is a negotiating tool. And so in past administrations, not just this one, that's been negotiated with police and municipal employees. I think that when you look at the benefit structure, the misnomer out there is that people are walking away with millions of dollars. I believe that the average employee is probably making about $26,000 a year. And we have a commitment to those employees who are already vested, and I think that I've been a big advocate for sticking to that commitment. But going forward, we're going to have to make some plan changes. Whether that is a hybrid, whether that is a defined contribution program, I'm not, you know, advocating a defined contribution program, but we are going to have to either start putting in more, and that equates to maybe higher taxes. I'm not quite sure, but I think that at the end of the day, we've got to look at those, look at the pension obligations long term, and as you get employees paying into the pension fund, this thing will smooth itself out probably over the course of 30 years. But in the near term, there are some serious challenges that we have.
Now, the main political fight is over the firefighters' pension between the mayor and the firefighters' pension fund. Mayor's been trying to get the legislature to pass a bill that would subject the firefighters to meet and confer requirements as the police and municipal pension funds are. Do you support that effort?
I support anything that shores up the long-term financial viability of the city. As a person who finds himself now in a position where I don't have a vote on council and have to remain, I don't say neutral on it, but I'm not the person who is in Austin advocating one way or the other, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think local control is a great thing. So if you take it indirectly from that, anything that takes the bargaining power and puts it between the firefighters and the city, including the administration, and they do it here at City Hall, I would support that.
Now, the city floated some pension obligation bonds a few years ago, which was basically borrowing money to make pension payments at that time. As I understand it, we haven't really started to pay down the principal on any of those yet. When people talk about the pension, the total amount that the city owes the pension fund or that the pension funds are underfunded, does that take that into account? And are we concerned about the fact that we have these bonds that we haven't really started paying off?
Well, I can tell you, we are very concerned about those bonds because if you notice, we haven't issued anymore since about 2006. And so we've probably only paid about $30 or $40 million on a $675 million investment in pension bonds. If we look back, and I was on city council, and I will tell you that I voted for issuing the pension bonds, and if, you know, in retrospect, that may not have been the best thing to do. And I think we made the decision at that time, based on the information given to us by the administration. I don't think you will see many municipalities issuing pension bonds because it's current obligations that we need to pay. So my suggestion and I've been pushing the administration is that we need to pay more on the ARC. We're going to have to bite the bullet on it. So
the other main function that the controller's office has is with audit. What are some of the audits that your office has been doing lately, and what, if you have another 2 years in the office, what do you look at doing down the road?
Absolutely. One of the things when I came into the office, I decided that we would go to the areas that would produce more revenue to put back into the city. So what we've concentrated on is the huge construction contracts. We've been out at the airport, and the vendors have had to pay more than $1 million back in money that was owed to the city. We did a huge audit on the Office Depot contract, and we expect to gain probably between $5 and $6 million on that. We've noticed many overcharges. We found many overcharges, and we've proven those overcharges, and so they're now with legal. The other thing that I think our office has been really concentrating on is some of the process improvements. We've had a lot of new contracts put in place here at the City of Houston, like the Cigna contract. I'm about to release that in about the next week. We'll find that there are some savings that should have been achieved that we didn't, that we left some money on the table. I've kind of stayed away from the petty cash audits because I think that while it's important to know that if employees are stealing, money out of the cookie jar, we don't have the manpower to put all of our resources into that. And especially when you're trying to find more money for the general fund, you'll see that for the next 2 years. So circling back, going back out to the airport where we've got over $1 billion in contracts out there, you'll find us continuing those big contracts and producing more money for the airport fund. But you'll also see us going through the day-to-day construction contracts here at the City of Houston and some of the big spend items that I think people want to see us making sure that not only is the city getting what it's paid for, but the process has improved the quality of life for people.
You mentioned earlier, and in previous times when we've done these interviews, we've talked about healthcare costs for the city, which is, big and growing in the same way that some of the pension obligations are. As we speak, the Affordable Care Act has now been fully implemented. Do you see any opportunities with the changes in healthcare laws to benefit the city and its health and the way it spends money on healthcare? And is the situation now as it was before? I mean, the national trend over the last 5 years or so has been for the healthcare costs to slow their growth a bit. So what's the big picture, and how do you see the new healthcare law, if at all, having an effect in Houston?
While I'm not an expert on the healthcare law, I do see maybe some of our lower-paid employees finding themselves potentially in a position to access the market for a cheaper rate than they would through the city, so I think you may see something there. On the higher end of that, you've got retirees who we've already been pushing into Medicare Advantage programs, so we've been trying to cap some of the costs on that side. I think that as the plan, all of the pieces come into place, the city should expect to see some savings. Like I said, I'm not an expert on it, but we certainly do hope so. And that's been the big question for us around here, is how does the Affordable Care Act affect us on the bottom line? And I think that the question is still out when you look at, you know, us being a self-insurer. So the big plan is for healthcare costs to level out. But what we found here at the city of Houston is that that didn't happen. We have a population that, unfortunately, when we did all of the health assessments, our costs went up. We had a spike. But I think over time you will see that come down. And that's only because we're forcing more of the wellness side of it. And I think the administration has been pushing the wellness side of it. So you'll see some spikes this year. It's coming down a little bit. And hopefully that trend will move forward. But it is still one of the largest drivers on our budget for current employees and for retirees.
One initiative that the Comptroller's Office has had for a while now, going back at least to when Mayor Parker was Comptroller, is Bank on Houston. The idea being that it's providing banking services for primarily lower-income folks who don't otherwise have access to it, so that they don't have to use payday lenders and check-cashing places and whatnot. How's that going?
It's going absolutely well. We've taken it to the next level, and what has happened is that when it started in 2008, the primary purpose was to just do two things: financial literacy and put people in traditional banking relationships. And while we are not a bank, we've got all these partners. Proud to say that we've put a big emphasis on securing grant funding for positions and to help that whole process go along. And we've gotten a $350,000 grant, and we now have our first full-time Bank on Houston employee who is managing the relationships between the partners and is leading the charge on the payday lending ordinances that are here and around the state. So I'm excited about the fact that, you know, we now have, it used to be a quasi volunteer type of a situation. Now we've got a full-time employee. And in fact, I was in D.C. meeting with the Department of Treasury to try to leverage that grant into getting more. And so the Bank on Houston program is getting notoriety all around the country.
Good. You know, you mentioned earlier in this interview that, you know, as controller, you don't have a vote on council. And, you know, controller, in addition to that, you know, you don't set any of the agenda, you don't certify the budget the way the state comptroller does. Do you believe the controller's office, you know, sort of as, you know, theoretically at least, should have more power in the city of Houston to affect, you know, to affect the debate and the process?
I think it should. But I can say one of the things that we've done is to make sure that we have educated council members so that when it does, even though we don't have a vote, when council members go and make a vote on the budget and when they put in their amendments, they have had the full utilization of this office where we've told them this is what the impact will be on your decision making. So I think that while we, you know, because you do have to have a wall between the two, so you can't very well audit what you've helped create just in accounting terms. But I think that, you know, if we were to have more staff, more on the audit side, I think we could probably make a better impact. That's one of the things that I've tried to do is beef up that situation so I can utilize analytics and show council members with the vote that this is what the impact will be.
I'm asking everyone that I interview, who are you supporting for mayor this year?
Well, you know that I have audit authority over the mayor and all city council members, so this controller is not supporting anybody.
All right, fair enough. Well, and, you know, as I said, you are completing your second term. You are looking to be reelected to your third and final term, according to term limits, when people go to vote this November. Why should they vote to give you that third term as city controller?
Well, one of the things that I believe we've done a lot about doing is raising the profile of the office, and not just the profile for the sake of politics' sake, but so that people use this as a resource. We've used the Bank on Houston program to let just the average Joe know that this office still performs constituent services. We have put out our CAFRs on time. We have reported in a transparent manner. We have actually, this office is used really nationally as a go-to office when you look at other CFOs across the country to determine what is Houston doing that makes it so different than a Detroit and those types of things. And I think we have beefed up the expertise. This office, we've also rang the bell when there have been challenges. We haven't been quiet. We have not sat in the mayor's lap. And I think that that deserves the recognition through a vote for a third term.
All right. City Controller Ronald Green, thank you very much for talking to me today.